Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a couple of Northwest Outdoor experts yap about it? This is The Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Rob Ensley on 710 ESPN Seattle and the 710 ESPN Seattle app. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Lowrance, Weldcraft, and Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson Chevrolet, Kitsap Marina, Harbor Marine, Truck Vault, and Ray Marine Electronics.
Welcome back to The Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN Seattle. Packed hour two for you, and I can't think of a better guy to talk to about that Middle Columbia River than a guy that's lived there literally his whole life. Angling legend, good friend Buzz Ramsey joining us this morning. Good morning, Buzz, and welcome to the show.
Morning, Buzz.
Good morning, my fishy friends. Who you got there with you this morning, Tom?
Well, of course, we got your new closest and best friend, Joe Pyburn, who and we're not going to let you guys talk about hunting during this show. And, of course, okay. First, Rob Ensley down in this pillow fort in Gig Harbor, and Joey and I are coming at you from our Tulalip, Washington studios. And, of course, my son Matt is running the show down there in Seattle. So we have a whole bunch of people bringing the show to folks today. Topic on the table, Buzz. Columbia River steel's an opportunity. Columbia River sockeye, kind of one of those enigmatic fisheries that continues to challenge most guys. And Columbia River shad. So we'll let you just grab on one of those, pick it apart, and tell us what you know, buddy.
Well, yeah, there is some fishing opportunity on the Columbia, although not for Chinook. Of course, the shad run, which in recent years has been all-time record numbers, and I don't know if it will be this year, but, you know, last year, as you likely know, there was, I think, over 7 million shad crossed Bonneville Dam. And the year before it was building, it was a mere 6 million. There's 100,000 over the dam already, just shy of 100,000, as of, the 28th. So the run is building. There's likely millions of them in the lower Columbia right now, and they're pretty easy to catch. So there's opportunity for them. On the salmon side, of course, there are sockeye coming up the river this year, and it looks like we've got nearly 250,000 forecasted to come up. And so there's opportunity for them, and there are summer steelhead nosing into the lower river. And And of course, there's opportunity for fin clipped summer steelhead. So yeah, there's some things happening down here.
Hey Buzz, there's quite a few folks from up here that drive down and actually fish for those shad. There's quite a few folks down there, and they've dragged their boats down. They fish from the bank. If folks were interested in going down and doing that, bringing the kids, whatever. I mean, they fight like crazy. There's bazillions of them in the river. What do folks use to catch those things down there? Is it a jig and a little spoon program, or how do you go about catching those shad in the lower Columbia, buddy, below Bonneville?
Well, there's lots of different ways. The one thing to understand about these shad, when they're migrating up the river, they'll follow the current edges. That's where they're at. They're usually in fairly shallow water, 10 to 20 foot of water, and they're not out there in the deep stuff so much. You can anchor in their path, and they'll come up that river in a tight group, a line, like a ribbon of them coming up the river. So the best thing is to anchor on a current line in water 10 to 20 feet deep, and you can use all kinds of things. Small spoons are real popular, a triple teaser, a dick knight, anything like that. They'll bite spinners. In fact, on years when we've got a summer Chinook season going, we're using bigger spinners usually, and they'll just rattle them like crazy. Of course, you can't get them in their mouth, so you don't catch too many. But a small spinner will work. I've even heard of guys catching them on plugs. So, a 20-inch, maybe a 20-inch dropper line off a spreader, and, 36-inch leader, and a small spinner or spoon, even a plug. Some guys even have, even on anchor, have used a little 6-inch fish flash to kind of and it will attract them into the gear. In fact, I was just talking to Jack Glass about that a couple days ago, and guy Jack Glass, and he said, "Oh yeah, that works." But usually, you don't have to overcomplicate it. You just anchor on the current edge. The biggest thing is when you're anchored on a current edge like that, I mean, if you move your boat over 4 feet, you may be, it may double your catch. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll just get in the lane where they're traveling, one of those traveling lanes, and so that's a big deal. So don't, if you got chocks on your boat where you can chalk your anchor line over, you might try swinging it. You know, if one side of the boat's producing better than the other, well, chalk over that way a little.
And what, when can folks, when does that like peak out? Because you said there's about 100,000 over now. When's kind of the peak of that run?
Well, it'll last all the way through June. So, you know, and the later, you know, they're, I mean, these shad, some of them can get up to 4 pounds. And usually, you know, later is when the bigger ones seem to come. And so, yeah, it'll last all of June.
And
they go right
okay,
on up to Columbia.
So, so you go down, you take the kids, and you catch a whole bunch of shad. What do you do with shad?
Well, that's a big question, you know. some people smoke and can them. I've tried that, and they're not, you know, I mean, they're unique.
You know you're eating
shad. That is a Buzz Ramsey euphemism for the
so
Chinook.
I think the best thing is just using crab bait, halibut bait.
Halibut love them.
Yep, sturgeon love them.
A lot of people keep them for crab bait.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I hear stories about guys, you know, people, you know, frying the roe, you know, cooking the roe out of the females. And I've heard that it's good. That I mentioned that to Jack Glass the other day. We were talking, and he's like, oh, I tried that. It wasn't good at all. So I don't know. You know, and then I got on the Internet here, and I looked around, and there were people, you know, that had some kind of recipe. I don't know. They claimed they were good, but so, you know, maybe it's worth trying. But one thing I did find when years ago I just determined to make them really palatable, and I filleted the sides off, didn't gut them or nothing, just filleted the sides off like you would with a big Bubba knife, you know, just cut right through the ribs and filleted the sides off. And then I put them in a smoker, didn't brine them or anything, just put them in a smoker and smoked them for, I don't know, 4 or 6 hours or so, long enough that they would cook just through, and all that meat will lift right off the skin. Hmm. And then I cleaned the mud line out, and I stuffed them in jars, added a little salt, and canned them. And I tried different spices, but maybe I didn't try enough of them. But and it was edible, but it wasn't my favorite.
Bacon.
You put still some bacon knew you were eating. You still knew you were eating shad.
Yeah, bacon's good, you know. But they are fun. They are fun to catch. I remember.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
You know,
they fight good, man.
Fishing is so good, and they fight like crazy. I mean, I remember taking our boys down there several times, and one day I went, and it was particularly good. And I told them I'd take them to a movie if they'd stop.
Kids, you have to quit fishing. Just stop fishing.
I mean,
yeah.
I couldn't get the lid on the cooler closed, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, Buzz, what about sockeye? What about trying to target those in the lower river?
Well, I haven't done a lot of it myself, but I've talked to people who have had really good success. And when they do the best is on a high water year, it'll shove those sockeye into the current edges, and they'll cast from shore, you know, with a spin glow and maybe a little coon shrimp on there. Pink, I understand, is a good color for the spin glow, and they'll catch them. You know, they're not big fish; they're about the size of a shad, really, but they're of course delicious eating, and they're migrating through the lower river, and so yeah. Guys can maybe have some luck at that. And back when you're shad fishing, especially if you're on a good little current edge, a guy might try a little spin glow with a shrimp and see if maybe you can get a sockeye to go along with your shad.
Well, and we were talking about this yesterday, Buzz, and I mean, you know, I spent, you know, a couple years doing sockeye research for the UW up in several different river systems in Alaska, and you hit the nail right on the head with where you find them in the streams. I mean, when you have any type of current flow at all, man, they are right on the shoreline. I mean,
yep.
And a lot of times, but still, they're they've kind of continued to elude us as sport anglers in that lower Columbia River. But a lot of that is I don't think guys have a complete understanding of how they come up the river. And if you do find that current seam, as you indicated, and throw some smaller shrimp offerings on floats or something like that, or maybe some coon shrimp or really downsized stuff, I mean, I tell you what, a couple sockeye fresh out of the ocean, that ain't no shad, man. That is some of the best eating you'll find.
Oh, yeah, they'll rival any of the salmon species as far as eating quality. They're good. And, of course, we haven't talked about it yet, but the summer steelhead, there are some summer steelhead. In fact, Joey and I were visiting about it. Evidently, some friends of his have been down doing pretty good on summer steelhead, and I saw some posts of some anglers that we're way low on the Columbia catching limits of summer steelhead. So there is some opportunity right now for those on the lower Columbia. And, of course, they're way good eating.
Yeah, no question.
Yeah, it's hard to go chase shad when there's steelhead and sockeye.
And so run us through the techniques for that, because I know a lot of guys will boat plunk for summer steelhead as well in that lower Columbia, Buzz Ramsey.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing there. In fact, those summer steelhead, they really like shallow water. They'll be right in there on little points of land and stuff and anchor. And, you know, I mean, I've been out there, and we've literally caught them in 4 foot of water. And you know, 4 to 8 foot is about where they kind of run, a lot of them. Now, you might get them in deeper water, but a lot of times they're on those little points and you just anchor above them, of course, above the point. And the same thing, chalk your boat this way and that, you know, depending. And a lot of anglers will run, you know, they'll run a plug, like a mag lip. You know, they'll flatline it out behind the boat. Or maybe they'll put it on a weight dropper, you know, because mag lip dives. You know, they might put it on a 24, 30-inch weight dropper line and a, you know, 4 foot leader or so. And they'll also, real popular, is to use a spin glow. With a shrimp on it, same thing you'd use for sockeye, really, and they'll fish that too, and they're great fighters. And a lot of these early fish, you know, they're 8, 10, 12 pounds. They're really nice fish.
Have you run your spin fish for those steelies yet?
Not yet, but the inventor Ray Norman, he caught a lot of steelhead with them. In fact, when he was doing the original R&D on that, he could catch a Chinook with it, but he couldn't catch a steelhead. And so he really fiddled with hole placement, pull point placement on that spinfish and got a little livelier action out of it. And he said, then I could catch both the steelhead and the Chinook with it. So,
well,
yeah.
Buzz Ramsey, I will probably end up running into you down at Buoy 10, probably Joey and I both. And then if not, doggone it, you got to come up here this fall, because I really see a good Chinook fishery in July here in Puget Sound, you know, coming our way. So I hope you come up and you can bend a rod with us a day or two up here in Puget Sound, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that sounds great. The other thing I want to mention about these shad, a lot of anglers will go up by Bonneville Dam, fish below the dam, all the dams really up the Columbia, and they'll cast little shad darts and things and kind of jig reel them back to them. Little lighter outfits then, you know, you might use 8 or 10 pound test line and you know, like, you know, steelhead rods or trout rods even will work, and they'll catch those shad that way too. So yeah.
All right, buddy. Well, we will be in touch. I appreciate it. Buzz Ramsey, Yakima Bait, thank you so much for your time. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks, Buzz.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it very much.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon. Coming up next, a critically acclaimed, award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
The Northwest Outdoor Report, also known as Redneck Sports Center, is brought to you by Truck Vault, the leader in secure vehicle storage.
The biggest earthquake in the outdoor industry this week was the news that Evinrude Outboards would be closing its doors for good. Evinrude was facing some challenges prior to the pandemic, and the business environment created by COVID-19 forced Evinrude's hand in the decision. Evinrude was founded in 1907 by Ole Evinrude, who invented the outboard engine. The company was purchased in 1935 by the UMC Group, who ran it until the year 2000, when the Barbardier Corporation acquired the company out of bankruptcy. Evinrude will continue to supply service parts for their outboards and will honor their warranties. Parent company Bombardier will focus its attention on its boat brands, Manitou, Alumacraft, and Tellwater Boats, based out of Australia.
Summer runs few and far between on the Sky Coma Show opener. Tom Sakamoto from the Fish Encounter at Three Rivers Marina Woodinville said the Sky opener last weekend was a bit of a bust for Summer Run Steelhead. Tom said only three Summer Runs were caught at Reeder, and he just heard of a handful downstream. The bright spot this week, though, was the number of Chinook coming out of the river. He said guide Shade Fisher put his guests into a number of kings this week, including a dandy pushing 30 pounds. Side drifting eggs below the Sultan was the most productive technique for those kings. Sakamoto said it's a bit early for Summer Run Steelhead fishing, and he hopes it'll pick up over the next couple weeks.
Charter boat operators on the Washington coast got the green light to resume operations this past Thursday with some restrictions in place. Face masks need to be worn while traveling in the cabin of the boat, and social distancing needs to be adhered to on the deck while fishing. Customers are asked to bring their own pins and hand sanitizer. Phase 2 guidelines state that a maximum of 8 guests from individual households can book on a charter boat. But if there's enough from a single household, some charter boats can hold more. Charter boats like the Slammer and the Predator can handle 11 to 12 people depending on the customer mix.
And along those lines, the charter boat Slammer out of Westport was on the ocean on Thursday, the day the fleet got the green light to start running trips. Slammer posted 12 anglers with full limits of 24 link cod and 84 rockfish, but noted that Friday and today's trips were canceled due to poor weather off the coast.
Straits of Juan de Fuca kicking out big halibut. Bob Anspot, Swain Sporting Goods in Port Angeles, says the halibut fishing was good for quite a few boats that ventured out this week. Anspot said one boat came in with 4 halibut, and the biggest was 110 pounds. That's a freezer full right there. One of the charter boats working out of PA had 9 halibut to the boat on the opener on Thursday. Bob says the top spots have been Green Point, 3136, Rock Pile, and a Salt Creek area. He says the 110-pound butt was caught by a boat anchored up in shallow water, but most of the action's been happening in the 200 to 300 foot zone. Severe winds on today's opener will definitely hamper much of that halibut effort on the Straits of Juan de Fuca.
Shrimpers got to hit the water this last Thursday in Marine Areas 5, most of 6, and 7. The next opener is scheduled for June 11th, and Shrimpers will get to hit the rest of the marine areas as well as the Discovery Bay Shrimping District in Marine Area 6. Marine Area 13 won't open this year due to low abundance. Some areas are only open for a matter of hours, while others are open for multiple days. Be sure to check the WDFW website for details on how long each marine area will be open for shrimping.
Boaters got some good news this week that the city of Seattle will be opening Donner Meany Ramp in West Seattle and Eddie Vine Ramp over in Shoshone Bay this morning at 7 o'clock. This is even better news for the shrimpers looking to access some of Puget Sound's most productive shrimping waters for the June 11th opener coming up here soon.
Free Fishing Weekend. Next weekend, June 6th and 7th, is Free Fishing Weekend in Washington State. So you can forget your license, no size restriction, and heck with the limit. No, no, no. But you can fish for free on any open waters next weekend. WDFW is asking anglers to follow state guidelines to help reduce the spread of COVID-19. Fish locally if possible. Travel with families or friends of the immediate household and keep 6 feet away from other folks. Be sure to call ahead and see if boat launches or access sites are open. And remember that some tribal lands on the Washington coast are still closed altogether.
This is the last weekend for turkey hunters to get out and bag a bird. Turkey season ends the last day of May. Despite a late start to the turkey season in Washington due to the stay-at-home order, many hunters still managed to bag their turkey. Hunters lucky enough to draw a spring bear tag have an extra 2 weeks to find a bear in the units that are open. Tag holders can hunt through June 30th for a spring black bear in Washington.
Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy addressed the 14-day quarantine in his press conference last night, and there's some good news and some complicated news from the press conference. The 14-day quarantine placed on anyone traveling to Alaska will be rescinded on June 5th. In its place, however, will be a requirement to pass a COVID-19 test within 72 hours of traveling and present the paperwork upon arrival. Dunleavy says there will be testing in place at major airports for passengers that lost their paperwork, but the test will probably take quite a bit of time once you get there. More information will be available from Dunleavy's office early next week on how this testing is going to roll out.
Another week, another grizzly bear attack in Montana. This time it was a mountain biker that was attacked near Big Sky in southern Montana. The man was riding on a private trail when he rounded a sharp corner and surprised the bear, leading to the attack. The 60-year-old man somehow managed to walk to a nearby road and get help from a passing driver. He's airlifted to a hospital in Billings in critical condition, but is now expected to make a full recovery. With grizzly bears now out of hibernation in Montana, experts say it's always great to carry bear spray and infantry division, call in airstrikes, and travel in groups if possible.
Something that we're not familiar with here in the Pacific Northwest is about to go down on the East Coast. The final stages of the cicada's bizarre life cycle is about to play out as millions of them emerge after 17 years underground. Cicadas hatch and then burrow underground to feed on plant roots before emerging as adults many years later. In this case, 17 years later. North Carolina, Virginia, and West Virginia are considered the hot spots for this summer's hatch, which is expected to be around 1.5 million cicadas. Another bizarre twist is the cicada's mating call can reach up to 100 decibels. That's the same noise level as like a loud power tool or a lawnmower.
This Redneck Sports Center has been brought to you by the great folks at Truck Vault in Cedro Woolley. Check out your next secure vehicle storage system at truckvault.com.
So
don't forget the new Westport boat launch too. That brand new facility, it's open out there as well.
They have done a great job in restrooms and showers and cleaning tables and the whole bit. So naturally, after they invest in all this infrastructure, you get hit by a complete closure here for a while. But Westport is now open for business. They've done a great job, and even the old England Marine store, you know, has now moved across the street from the Hungry Whale over there. And so they're in a brand new facility, lots of great gear there in England Marine. But just that whole boat ramp facility used to be just, you know, a kind of a gravel parking lot thing. Now it's all paved and lined and everything. So it keeps your rig cleaner. It's easier to, you know, walk. No more mud puddles and crap. Nice bathrooms and showers and cleaning tables, which also, that marina has needed for a long time.
Yeah, for sure. Also, the Upper Skagit is going to open up here June 1st. I know folks excited to get there on the Upper Skagit for Kings. And yesterday, they caught a murder hornet up in Whatcom County. Somebody found one. Yeah, there was one that rolled into somebody's backyard up in Custer, north of Bellingham. I was just snooping around online in between segments here, and bam, there's a murder hornet. So we better shelter in place for another couple months until
murder
we get
hornets,
rid of this.
Was grizzly bears.
Yeah,
it's dangerous out there.
Jeez, it's crazy.
Was the guy sitting on a bunch of yellow jacket and honeybee decoys in a mud puddle waiting for him to come by, and he set his little murder hornet wings and came into the decoys? All right. Kelly Cunningham, look, we've obviously had some complications to our seasons this year, and you know, at least now we're getting some clarity. So here to walk us through the rest of our 2020 fisheries opportunity roadmap, Kelly Cunningham, WDFW Fish Program Director, coming at us next here on the Outdoor Line, powered by legendary Yamaha Reliability, 710 ESPN Seattle.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here on 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. We're still trying to get a hold of Kelly. I think I may have snafu'd the phone number there a little bit.
Did you pissed him off, didn't you?
No.
Who
would
not
I possibly
yet.
Make mad?
Not so. Yet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a poop.
It is. We got a dog down here now, so.
A wet dog.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, there we go. So, you know, one of the challenges we've had this year, Robbo, is you know, the seasons have been put in flux by you know, the situation we're currently
in. Sure.
But now, you know, we're gonna get a little bit of clarity to some of our seasons.
You guys hear that lightning out there? Our house just got lit up with lightning. I wasn't
sure. Are you kidding me?
We're cranking outside right now. Anyway, maybe that's what happened to Kelly's phone line. But yeah, our season's definitely been in flux a little bit, and really just extreme patience from all of us. I mean, I know we got into a couple weeks where we whined about the closure and everything, but you know, we're back on board again here and trying to exhibit our best patience as thing unfold here. And of course, for our Alaska season, man, everybody's asking, what's going on? Well, we don't know. I mean, it changes every day.
Quite frankly.
I mean, gosh, you know, we're doing our best, and we're honestly, I hang on every word that comes out of Governor Dunleavy's mouth, you know, so we're just kind of along for the ride here, and things are reopening here, of course, on the home front in Washington as quickly as they can get to them. And actually, things are going, all things considered, things are going okay here. We're getting back on the water again. So you got Kelly there?
We got Kelly. Okay. Kelly Cunningham, WDFW Fish Program Director. Welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate it, and we're also mindful of the challenges that, that you guys have had. But you made a pretty comforting statement to me yesterday, Kelly, that at least now guys can pick up the pamphlet and really go by the pamphlet with regard to our opportunities the rest of the summer.
Yeah, we're really close, Tom. You know, we opened up our shrimp fishery in Puget Sound here earlier in the week. That felt pretty good. It hasn't been easy on anybody, right? We understand that the impact it's had on recreational anglers and those businesses that depend on it. So it's been an interesting spring, that's for sure. But we're close. We're really close.
Hey, Kelly, in other states in the country, license sales have just been out of control. And I've talked to some of the folks at the department down there. Obviously, you know, license sales were pretty much closed down for what, 41 days or something. But it sounds like they're catching up quick. I mean, you guys have had some record days license sales-wise. What's it looks like, you know, compared to last year? How do the sales look compared to last year or the year before here? Are we catching up quick and maybe even going beyond what we've sold in the past?
Yeah, so the license sale piece is something that's out of my wheelhouse. I've got my hands full with trying to manage Washington
history. Right, yeah.
I will say that we were really concerned about license sales, obviously, and we knew going into these closures that we knew what we'd hear back, and people would speak in many instances with their pocketbooks. So we understood that. We had a pretty significant hole to fill, but boy, once we were able to open up, that spring Chinook fishery on the Columbia, we saw some, I won't say record days, but we had some close to $1 million days in license sales that I'm aware of. And I think last I heard from our licensing division that we're close to being back on track. Having said that, given the fiscal situation associated with COVID, us along with other state agencies are developing reduction packages as we speak. So it's going to be pretty difficult for everybody. I mean, for us, it's a tough pill to swallow. We were just made whole by the legislature as a result of the supplemental session, and now we're looking at about a $12.5 million hole that we're being asked to fill. So it's on one hand, it's more of the same for us from the financial perspective, but we do appreciate those license sales helping us out.
Well, and so now the guys are getting their licenses, what can we expect with regard to the rest of our summer? I mean, here in Puget Sound, obviously our salmon seasons really, really move the needle, as do our crab seasons. And so right now we're looking at a July 1st crab opener and the rest of our summer Chinook seasons, July 1st crab opener and the rest of our Chinook seasons going off on July 1st in Area 7 and 9 and 10 in July 16th. That's in the book. That's what's going to happen, Kelly.
Yep, as it stands right now. Now, what's really crazy, folks, as you're aware, right, so the governor's ready to reopen the state into Phase 2 starting the 1st. A bunch of counties have already gotten a nod to go there. So absent any kind of recurrence of the COVID spike in some of these areas, we're good to go. What we're really worried about and what we considered when we, kind of started this slow roll reopening of fisheries in Washington is wanting to spread folks out as much as possible, provide some guidelines, some things to think about when you go fishing. It's that stay close to home, pack it in, pack it out, all those types of things. Try to fish with family members to try to avoid, people congregating at a particular boat ramp or some of our more popular, I'll call them gold rush fisheries. We were really worried about those. So as long as the curve continues on the path it's on, and as long as we continue to think about what we're being asked to do in terms of, the social distancing and all that stuff, I feel pretty good about our future. And I will say this, anglers have stepped up, right? I pay a lot of attention to social media sometimes at my own demise, but you know, a lot of chatter out there about, hey, let's, you know, we know what we need to do. Let's do it. Let's not be idiots. You know, let's ensure that we do our part so we can continue fishing. And that's greatly appreciated.
Hey, Kelly, any idea when we might see a halibut opener on in areas 1 through 4? I know it's been talked about like August. Is there a chance of that getting open sooner?
Yeah, probably not. We're shooting for August, September timeframe. We still don't have access in areas 3 and 4. We've got co-managers who manage that access who aren't comfortable yet. So we understand how important, you know, those access sites, those ramps are to those fisheries. So we're trying to provide enough space for our co-managers to feel comfortable to reopen. We want to take full advantage of that quota. So we're hoping that by holding off until that late August, September timeframe, again, that curve goes down to the point where we've got some additional comfort and can open up those ports and those fisheries accordingly.
We're talking with Kelly Cunningham, Fish Program Director at WDFW. And, you know, this year has been, it's been obviously challenging, and that's probably not a good enough word for everything that we've been going through. And so now, you know, we've had our shrimp seasons delayed. We've had, you know, ling delayed and everything else. And specifically with regard to crab fishing, though, you don't see anything coming down the pike with regard to our Dungeness opportunity in Puget Sound or the San Juans?
No, I think we're all good there. I think we're in really good shape. At this point in time, it's not on my radar, so I'm not worried about it. Typically my radar is filled with those items that I'm concerned about, and Puget Sound crab isn't one of them right now.
Well, that's wonderful. And then the other thing is, you know, we've got a lot of military guys here that are stationed here in Washington that are just, you know, these guys just want to go fishing. And yet right now, non-residents are not allowed to buy a fishing license here in the state of Washington. Can you shed some light on that, why that decision was made, and when we may be opening up license sales to non-residents here in the state of Washington, Kelly?
Yeah, so maybe let's start with the first part of your question. You know, those service members stationed at JBLM and other places, when they check that box military, they're considered a resident of the state, and they can purchase a resident fishing license. So we spend a lot of time at places like JBLM trying to get folks into fishing and educate folks about what they need to do to buy a license and what fishing opportunities there are, because, you know, we recognize that the service that they provide for the country, and we feel like it's our obligation to provide service to them. So with respect to military service members, they're treated as resident license holders as long as they've checked that box. So that shouldn't be an issue. The second part of your question, I think, was why did we make the decision to go that route? We were seeing, as this COVID thing kind of started to rear its ugly head, we made the decision.
I think we're losing him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we're getting every other word, Kelly.
I got you on my end. I don't know. I think it's you, Tom. It's a personal problem, Tom.
It's a personal problem.
Your wife says you never listen to her. This could be.
Yeah.
I've got that same problem. So maybe.
Yeah. So Kelly,
can you guys hear me now?
We just got another minute. So when will Washington open up the license sales to non-residents?
Could be as early as Monday.
Okay, oh, cool. Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. Kelly, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it, man. And again, we're mindful of the difficult situation WDFW's been put in. Really appreciate you joining us morning. And don't be surprised if you hear from us again in the near future, man.
Thank you, Kelly, for taking the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
All right. Thanks so much. Coming up next, the hottest report we've heard all week, and techniques you need to succeed. It's RoyRobinsonChevy.com's Really? Where? And it's next here in the Outdoor Line, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really? Where?
It's coming back. The island of Tinian the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You can
ocean turning red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got them?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonChevy.com's
Really? Where?
Where? Roy Robinson Chevrolet RV will take you anywhere. Really?
Shop, click, and drive for your new Chevy. Roy Robinson remains open to the general public by appointment. Sales department is open. Service as normal. Go check out Roy Robinson Chevrolet at RoyRobinsonChevy.com. Okay, Robbo, I can see you got some help there in the studio. Okay, you got
my
Ava.
Ava just rolled out of the sack here and came down to Harbor, and man, the lightning is out of control here. And now it's
really
raining so hard you can't even see. Yeah, it is ripping up. We just got a text, too, on the text side from Port Orchard. It's hammering Port Orchard, too. So anyway, big lightning storm going on down here. But after this is over, you know, the saltwater fishing this weekend is going to be tough. We got crappy weather all weekend. This is a freshwater program. Get through this lightning program here and this crazy weather blowing through. And I tell you what, the freshwater stuff is just cranking. I talked to Nathan LaFrance over at Mardon Resort yesterday. He runs the convenience store there, / tackle shop. And Joe, I talked to you about this last night. They're selling 1,000 cups of worms a week over there. Whatever the math is on that, that's crazy. He said it's completely out of hand. The crappie fishing is going crazy, walleye, bass. It's all happening. And that same stuff is happening here on the west side, minus the walleye. But I know guys that are catching crappie over here. The bass fishing has been incredible on the west side here. Trout fishing. You know, the lakes haven't warmed up just yet. Once the lakes get really warm here on the west side, the trout fishing can kind of wane a little bit. But they're just perfect right now to get out and stroke these stalker trout. Kokanee fishing. Joe, I think you're going to get out this weekend and get on some kokanee. American Lake quietly is still producing. And actually, with this weather here this weekend, there won't be as many jet skiers and water skiers out. It'll actually be a little bit for the kokanee fishing there. But the freshwater stuff is where it's at right now. We had a texter earlier talking about Lake Taps. Smallmouth fishery in there, completely awesome. And you got a chance of catching one of those tiger muskies as well. I got buddies that have been hitting Lake Washington, Lake Sammamish, all the local lakes here for smallies and doing really well here. So really, it's a freshwater program. At least here this weekend in the early part of the week, Skagit River is going to open up on the 1st. I think, I believe that's Monday for King Salmon. And then, of course, I screwed up earlier in the show. We do have another opener up in the islands on June 1st for shrimp. Most of the openers are going off June 11th, but there is one day up there on June 1st to get shrimp up in Area 7 as well. So that's kind of what's happening.
Joey, now you know what else is happening, though, right? It's you and me for the rest of the summer, dude, because this guy here is flying to Southeast Alaska tomorrow morning. True, Robbo?
What's that now, buddy? I'm reading text. I'm just looking at a text from CBS.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's already left. He left early. He left the show for the rest of the summer, and now he left early.
I'm clocking out.
Yeah, he already clocked out. Okay. No, hey, Robbo, how you doing? Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. I'm glad to see it. Hey, let's finish the radio show, okay? Before you leave for the summer.
30 lightning strikes in Port Orchard this morning.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Crazy.
All right.
So techs are pouring in.
You guys are flying to Craig tomorrow.
Well, that's the plan. We may have to cancel that now. This whole testing thing.
Oh, gotcha.
We're going to get on the phone. The second the show's over, we're on the phone here. I don't know. I mean, the COVID thing, you know, nothing is for sure. So we were scheduled to fly out tomorrow. We're going to kind of take a look at that here, and maybe we'll go get tested this week and then fly up later in the week. So we're just taking everything, throwing it up in there. The whole deck of cards is going in the air right now. We're going to pick one up and run with it here in a little bit. But really, testing sites open at 9 o'clock. We're going to be calling all over here this morning, trying to get in and maybe get tested and then fly up here. Maybe, who knows? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Does anybody know what's going on?
Jeez. By all accounts, the Chinook fishing in Southeast Alaska is solid as a rock.
I know. And like, give me a break here. I just want to get up there and get going and get the boat in the water. It's just killing me. There's so many fish up there right now.
Yeah. Well.
Well, hopefully hopefully there's not a big rush of people going to get tested and you guys can get in and get your tests.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, Robbo.
Anyway,
we'll be in touch, man. Ava's excited. Good.
Ava's sitting here. The kids are excited to get to Alaska. We're fired up to get to our place. All of our friends up there, we're excited to see them and, of course, see our customers this summer. I mean, it's going to be pretty special. If we can pull this off, it's going to be really, really special this summer if we can get on the water and fish. So
yeah, no doubt about it, man.
We're thinking positive here.
All right, well, you stay safe and keep in touch. Missed any of the show, you can get the podcast on MineEarthWest.com, of course, at 710 ESPN app or TheOutdoorLine.com. Follow us during the week on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at The Outdoor Line. For Joe Pyburn, for Rob Ensley and Ava Ensley down in down at Gig Harbor, Matt Nelson, our Seattle studios, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line on 710 ESPN Seattle.